Hey, this is the Richer Dialogues, episode 3. I'm here today. This is Adam, by the way. Colin is still not here yet. We think we've lost him to Texas. No, he's coming back. When is he coming back? Sunday?
Tomorrow,
Monday?
Yeah. Be back in the shop Tuesday.
He'll be back in the shop on Tuesday, so you'll be able to see him then. But you know what? You won't be able to hear this podcast till he gets here anyway. So, with me today, Jeremy, who is running the store, and calling in from Cleveland is Nick. Or you can introduce yourself, Nick. You like that.
Well, I mean, I can introduce myself as Nick. I can introduce myself as Nick Relly on Twitter. I can introduce myself as the guy that reads way too many comic books.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Jeremy's here. He's sorting comics like Colin was last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the background sound of this, so you can tell which one it is.
Of this, yeah. Some people have music. We have comics flipping and tape and all sorts. Makes sense. That's how a comic book store should sound. But, so what's come out this week that anybody wants to talk about? Nick?
Do we keep it positive, or do we digress into all the nastiness that's going on in the comic book industry this week?
You can talk about whatever.
I say we'll keep this one positive, because that's supposed to be the whole point of this one, is a nice, happy place, and then we can be negative on the regular podcast.
Perfect. We can talk about who owes who money and who doesn't on Wednesday.
Because there's people to yell at on that one. So.
Right. Yeah, we have some anger that we can really harness on that one, so that's good. Well, I'll tell you, I had a chance to read Wolverine and the X-Men number 5, the new artist that Bradshaw's taken over for Pacello. And, you know, it wasn't the same, but it was still, like, a lot of fun. I mean, it's, like, if the first... You know, like, 4 issues of this were, like, the best 4 issues of an X-Men comic I've read in a long time. This is probably second place.
I agree. You know, it was actually the top of my list for this week, and I haven't got to read as much by Saturday as I normally would have since I've been here at the shop. But I sat it down, read it, and the tone of the comic didn't lose a beat for me. Still felt, it had, just like the first 4 issues, story-wise didn't really feel like it missed a beat, and the art was not as distracting as I thought it might be, even though I still wouldn't say I'm the biggest fan of Nick Bradshaw. It was still pretty good. It wasn't, that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different look, I guess, of the same concept. We know it's the same writer, but there's just so much going on. I mean, there's so much happens in this book with all these different characters. And it's really, for me, the pool isn't so much Wolverine and Kitty Pryde and Iceman, etc. For me, the pool is all the new characters. You know, right. I want to read more Brew, Kid Gladiator, Genesis. The new Angel is completely bonkers.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I mean, that
I've been declared legally incompetent or whatever it was.
Yeah, and he thought it was funny. He's just so, like, positive and dumb at the same time.
And the stuff with Genesis is fantastic. It's like every little thing he does, he's second-guessing himself, which leads us to second-guess him because we know who he is.
Well, the original mandate of the Avengers Academy was these were a bunch of people with superpowers that had the strongest chance of going bad.
Yep.
But if you look at this group of people with, you've got Ivy, who, thinks she's a monster and killed somebody. You've got Brew, who's, the most well-meaning person, but still a brute. Yep. Quentin Quire, who makes no bones about how evil he wants to be. Kid Gladiator, definitely, you could see going to be a villain. And Genesis is the prodigy of Apocalypse. So, I mean, this is the villains to watch out for, potentially.
Yeah. And,
These people need teachers. And this makes Wolverine's mandate make more sense. If Cyclops put these people in as just pure pawns in a game of war, they would be damaged.
Yeah. And I think, you hit it, the mandate with Avengers Academy, that's one of the things why I'm really loving this book, is it's that same idea. you know, all of these flawed younger characters, and half the draw is just that, you know, curiosity of which direction are they going to go. And I love the flaws. Like, I was reading this week thinking, what a great concept Kid Gladiator is, because Gladiator's power, the regular Gladiator, his power is based off of his confidence. And then you see Kid Gladiator, you know, when they were doing their little microverse travels through the body, through Toad, and he's like, you know, suddenly feeling not confident. He's like, has to prove himself. And that directly, you know, if his powers work the way his dad's do, that's just like...
It should probably be the same, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a great little thing, like, you know, he has this hang-up and, oh, it has, you know, could have implications.
And they didn't really explain that, you know, which is good, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, how Gladiator's powers work like that. In fact, I didn't even know that about Gladiator until there was one issue in the late 90s where he fought Cannonball.
Yeah, I don't think it had ever been discussed until then, but then it was one of those things when they did it, it's like, what a great,
Well, he was just originally, he was, I believe, a Mon-El clone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was Mon-El to the Shi'ar Imperial Guard Legion.
Which, I mean, if people don't know, when originally, I think, Dave Cochran, who created, the Shi'ar Guard, he also historically worked on Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
So he created an analog team for the X-Men to fight that were each one of the characters were essentially the Legion of Superheroes. Some to, I don't even remember the name of the guy. It looks like Brainiac, but he looks exactly like Brainiac.
Yeah. And another little bit of trivia I always loved about that is I believe it was Nightcrawler, was an unused Legion of Superheroes character that he brought to Marvel with him when he started doing the X-Men.
Totally true. Giant Size X-Men number 1 is one of my prized comics that I own. Not necessarily for the value of it, because I probably have a bunch of Silver Age DC books that are more than that, but it's, as a kid, you know, being a big X-Men fan, like, that was my holy grail. Not X-Men number 1, but Giant Size 1.
I agree. That's my grail. It's actually still my grail, mostly because, number one, I've never actually come across a copy of it because I haven't been to nearly as many cons. And it's kind of one of those books, you know, yeah, if I ever wanted it bad enough, I can go on the internet, find a copy, it'll show up. But it's one of those books, you know, like you said, being a grail book, I want to physically be at a shop or at a convention, see that copy, walk over it, you know, get that instant gratification of grabbing it. But it's a book that I've actually never seen.
So never seen a person?
Yeah.
I should just bring it with me.
Yeah.
Colin, yeah, he might fight you for it.
Right. My good friend and I, like, that we, you know, we grew up together as big comic book fans. You know, there was a few books, like, in the Bronze Age that we really, like, you know, obsessed over, and, like, for me, it was that. For him, it was Wolverine 181.
Oh, Hulk 180.
And Amazing 129.
Mm.
He got both of those, and I got Giant Size 1.
I thought Colin just recently got Giant Size.
He got it about a year ago, and it didn't even last, like, 2 days in the store.
Okay,
he literally...
I think I saw it when it came in with when I got Amazing Spider-Man number...
He posted it online, and by the time I made it to the store, which was, like, 2 days later, it was gone.
Yeah, I think I think he got those around this time last year. That's when I got my Amazing Spider-Man 120... What was it? Now I can't remember. It's the Gwen Stacy. 122.
Yeah.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Because those were also the batch of comics that had the mice damage, and I picked up.
Yeah.
I picked up Uncanny 101, and it has one of the corners that's been nibbled away. But Colin sold it for less than $5, and I'm like, you know, I can deal with that minor cosmetic damage to have that book in my collection for less than $5.
Yeah, I could too with a lot of that stuff. I tell you, he did that last year. He got these just really nice books in, but some of them were mouse damage. But yeah, I got that Spider-Man, those two Spider-Man issues. He had quite a few Spider-Man issues. Plus, he had the first appearance of the Punisher, Amazing Spider-Man.
129. Yeah. See, that's like the there's two Bronze Age books I really need, and it's it's Hulk 181 and Amazing 129. Like,
yeah. Oh, and I'd love to have that Punisher book.
What do you think the big bronze like characters that were first appeared in the Bronze Age? Who do you think the big ones are?
Well, Wolverine and the giant size X-Men, but
that's his third appearance.
What, Luke Cage characters like that?
Yeah, I mean like Iron Fist,
Shang-Chi,
Conan.
Yeah,
Conan got big in with the Barry Windsor Smith stuff. Firestorm.
Yeah, Firestorm.
Yeah, I would say that like DC doesn't have as many like breakout bronze stars as Marvel does, but
no.
You know, Firestorm's probably the one that jumps out to me.
Yeah, the only other DC one that I'm really thinking of is Black Lightning.
I think that all depends.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think that's all about when they came out. I think DC had a lot of better stuff before that, but like being that Marvel's characters really came out in the 60s, their stuff started to finally like really catch with people in the stories, because I love a lot of Bronze Age stories.
The decade of the 70s to me really is all about Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, DC had some good stuff. You know, they had Neil Adams revitalizing Batman and all of the Neil Adams imitators. But, like, when I think of decade by decade, like, the 60s is really kind of split between Silver Age DC and the birth of Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, I see those as equally important, but really in the 70s, that Marvel just dominated creatively.
Oh, they really did. And, you know, I've said the same thing. Amazing Spider-Man, that's my favorite run, is around the 70s.
Yeah, a lot of DC's 70s stuff that I think of is, like, Swamp Thing, House of Mystery, House of Secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, when I think of the Bronze Age, you know, I think it's so Marvel dominated. In fact, even their licensed stuff. I mean, if you think about like Conan and Star Wars, like those are two huge books in the 70s. Like in the 70s, you know, Star Wars in the late 70s, but when Star Wars was coming out, just like in the 80s with G.I. Joe, it was one of the top tier selling books.
Yep.
And that's another thing about that late 70s, early 80s period with Marvel that we don't think of anymore, but they had a lot of licensed properties. You know, Conan, Star Wars, ROM started out as a license, ROM. Micronauts.
Didn't Colin just, not too recently, just get ROM? Like, lot of ROM.
It's a lot of Space Knight.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, there's so much in the 70s of Marvel comics that I think that's the best time to read that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the best decade.
I like a lot of the 80s Marvel stuff, too. You know, 70s and 80s Marvel, to me, is really amazing. And, like, for me, the DC stuff that I really enjoy are the 60s and the 90s.
Yeah. No, I totally buy into that. With me, it's like that Jim Shooter, that whole Jim Shooter era of Marvel is just perfect. Like, kind of across the board, they were knocking out of the park with every title. And I'm kind of the same way. The DC stuff I like seems to happen on either side of the Jim Shooter era at Marvel.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, being a big Spider-Man reader, I love the 70s, like I said. 80s I liked as well, too. I mean, you got a lot of that from Venom and stuff like that. But 90s, I don't know about 90s Spider-Man. I mean, it all depends.
From a nostalgic point of view, fine, but beyond that, it's not. I mean, it's not certainly era that you would call classic.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, a lot of it, me and Jeremy were actually just talking about this the other day. There's a lot of Venom and Carnage. A lot of it. There's a lot of, there's a point, I forget who was the artist on it at the time, I can't remember. But
a lot of Bagley.
That was, late 90s though, right?
Late mid-90s.
Before that, though, like when there was an issue that had Sandman and the Avengers, remember when Sandman joined the Avengers?
Oh, yeah. Reserve member.
Yeah. But the art on those issues was just really bad. I don't remember who it was.
Art from that era is, you know, your McFarlane and your, in my opinion, Eric Larson.
Yeah.
And that was like the early, early 90s. And then from there, you're right, it sort of dipped.
Yeah. And, you know, it they knew it because, you know, that's when the first volume of Spider-Man just stopped. Then they went, I don't know how that exactly, you probably know more about that than I do. It kind of stopped. and then it started back up with Volume 2 of Spider-Man. Where, yeah, how long did it go before they restarted?
Yeah, there was a 12-issue miniseries called John Byrne's Spider-Man Chapter 1.
Yeah.
And that's the idea was they were going to try to capture some of the post-crisis Superman, John Byrne, Man of Steel kind of feel.
Yeah.
And it did not do well.
No. Yeah, I have all those issues, and they're just not – they really don't hold up. Plus, they cross over – the first bunch of issues from that Volume 2 cross over into other Spider-Man titles. I don't think that's a safe way to bring back a book when you make people – you know, your new audience try to do the work to find other issues, you know. I think you should keep it contained and then do, you know, little tie-ins here and there.
It's funny, though. Not that long after that –
Hello. How you doing?
I mean, I think it was relaunched in January 1999. It says okay, so that was literally relaunched at the same time, maybe like a few months apart than Ultimate Spider-Man, which in my opinion was obviously far more successful because the notes of that book continue today.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
Well, upon a time, the talk was that the Ultimate line was so much better than the regular line, they should just, you know, drop it and move forward Ultimate.
Time has passed.
Oh, yeah.
But one of my favorite runs of Spider-Man is one that I kind of restarted with Spider-Man with, and that's what actually got me kind of into comics again. Well, one was Ultimate Spider-Man. Ultimate Spider-Man got me into comics again. But the Straczynski's run of Spider-Man, I really like. And I think mainly because it's such a different run of Spider-Man. It's not his same type of villains. It's a newer type of villain, you know, that he was going after. It was more it was more of a survival thing for him, you know. But I know I really love Straczynski's run. I think that's what saved that because, you know, saved Spider-Man. It really
I don't
did.
Disagree.
Yeah.
I think that it is very exemplary of an era of Marvel where there was risk-taking, that they were willing to change characters, where the extra media versions of the characters didn't control publishing.
Uh-huh.
It was an era where it seemed like new people were coming onto the books all the time, that the talent was top tier. And it lasted from, I think, in my opinion, like 1999 to like maybe 2004, 2005, where... Okay.
Bill Jemis era.
The Bill Jemis era, yeah. As much as people like don't like Bill Jemis, what I think was, and I don't know how much credit I give him, I give a lot of the credit to a still yet to be corporate Joe Quesada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he still was, you know, the idea of this indie creator, you know, running Marvel and taking big chances because the things that happened in that book, that Spider-Man book, were... pretty bold. They were playing around with the genesis of his origin. They were playing around with, you know, new supervillains, which historically Spider-Man, you know, pretty much had the same rogues gallery forever.
Yeah. And you know, I think people like to get away from that a little bit. I think that might have been what was kind of boring for Spider-Man for a while. They weren't really bringing... Burns was bringing in, like, different villains, though. The first villain they had was he's a villain that I don't even remember the name. That's the thing. He was like a skeleton of some sort that was like on fire or something. I don't remember what his name was, but then he crossed over. That was like the first issue of that book, and he was just a character that you're just like, okay, what is this guy? And then once you got to that point, it's like, now this will continue in this book. And I was like, well, I don't have that book. Because, you know, I didn't get these at the same time. I was getting them as back issues. So I was like, yeah, I don't care. So, Straczynski's books didn't necessarily do that. They were pretty contained into themselves. They had, as you were saying, they kind of went into more of a different type of origin. Not necessarily, they were re-exploring the origin of what Spider-Man was, which was always kind of neat.
Right up until the point where he very nearly tainted Gwen Stacy forever.
Gwen Stacy and the twins. Yeah.
Yeah,
which have returned though. I was waiting for them to come back into the picture. Did you read American Sun, Nick?
Yeah, that was. I was really surprised to see them in there.
Yeah, so that I don't know what happened to the girl though.
I don't remember either.
Yeah,
thought about. You know, on and this will be, I don't know when this will actually, you know, people will be able to listen to this, probably after Monday?
Yeah.
If that's the case,
then he was going to come Sunday and get it.
This is this will be after AMC's big block of comic book related program.
Oh.
I don't know if you know this, but there's three shows back to back to back on Sunday. One is the mid-season return of Walking Dead.
Huh.
The other is a gamble that will affect the comic store more, maybe. It is called Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
And then the return after that to The Talking Dead, which with Chris Hardwick from the Nerdist podcast fame. But the second one is the one I kind of wanted to talk about, like, potentially. It's a sort of quasi-reality show set in a comic shop, and not just any comic shop. Kevin Smith's, that is run by Walt Flanagan and, well, you know, Dave Johnson, a.k.a. Steve Dave.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole show, I'm really wanting to see it. And I'm kind of a Kevin Smith fan, but...
Me too.
Kevin Smith, though, sometimes, I don't know, sometimes it's... He seems like he's kind of into himself more than he needs to be.
That's what he does for a living now, I think.
Yeah. Because I'm not seeing too much. You don't see too much. Well, and I was looking at this show here, and I was like, well, that's funny that Kevin Smith is even in it, because they run that store out of Red Bank, right?
They do.
And he never was really that big of actually in the operation of it. He just kind of owned it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he basically set those guys up with jobs, because Brian Johnson apparently is like kind of, you know, he and Flanagan like are they could have done more, but they sort of you know, underachievers, and he wanted to give them something to do. But it's only a 6-part series.
Yeah.
But what's crazy about it is that it has the potential to portray the direct market local comic book shop in a way that it never has.
Yeah.
Or it could just do what everybody else has.
Yeah.
I mean, the comic book guy, although I'm a huge fan of the Simpsons character, I probably shouldn't be, the same ways that I probably shouldn't be a fan of Adam West Batman, because it's bad for the industry.
Yeah.
But this could potentially break that mold and say, you know, I mean, I'm a huge fan of, what do you call it, History Channel's Pawn Stars.
Yeah, I am too.
If there was a show like that, about comic books and about history of comic books, and even if it was like a mini series, that would be cool.
That's what I was kind of hoping this was, but I don't think it's going to be so much of that.
Well, I have the plot here if you want me to read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Leading the crew behind the secret stash counter are moody manager Walt Flanagan, the uber nerd. This is making me a little scared. Although I would also call myself that. Mike Zapik, career slacker Brian Johnson, and Ming Chen, the shop's go-to whipping boy. As the team buys and sells and discovers treasures of the comic book collecting world, they share every detail with Smith through podcasts, which are woven through the series.
Huh.
So, I don't know. If it shows comics and it gives you a little history about it, and they talk about, you know, the stories, almost like kind of like we do.
Yeah.
It could be cool.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, like, nerdy people, like, looking like elitists and... you know, drooling when a girl comes in, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. I was, well, and then with Kevin Smith running, I was wondering, or Kevin Smith being a part of the show itself, though, I was wondering if it was going to be a little more, you know, like that, kind of, not necessarily scripted, but thought out like that, you know what I mean? So, I don't know if he'd do that, because, I mean, you know how he is with his movies. I love his movies. But I'm hoping it's just not like one of the movies. You know, it's kind of like what we were just discussing. It was going to be more of a type of Pawn Stars comic books type show.
I mean, there's a pilot made about 6 or 7 years ago that's floating around. And obviously they're not going to do it. But and I believe it was called Comic Nerds. And it was a Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn as... like the worst stereotypes of comic book fans / comic book shop owners. And it was just terrible comedy. And those are two guys that I respected and like really liked their work.
Yeah.
But this was just like the... Like if this would have been successful, the comic industry would have looked terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping this isn't that.
Yeah, exactly. I think Colin was kind of hoping that, too. I think that's what we were discussing not too long ago. That he was like, I'm hoping it doesn't make him look like, you know, that type of thing. Because yeah, that's not what this type of store is, either. So.
Right.
So, what is this on? What is this? What's the first night? You said Monday?
This is Sunday.
Sunday.
It starts, I think, from 9 to 10, and then from 10 to 10:30. Or maybe not. Maybe it's like, they could all be an hour. I'm not really sure. But they're back to back to back. It's Walking Dead, Comic Book Men, and then The Talking Dead.
Okay.
Which I don't know if you guys watch The Talking Dead, but I enjoy people talking about a show I just watched.
It's like the commentary afterwards.
Almost. And it's, I think it's unprecedented. I mean, can you think of anything like that where there was a show and then there was a TV show after a bunch of fans talking about it?
Well, Lost had a bunch of those type of things.
As podcasts, but did they have, like, actual shows?
No.
Oh, you mean of actual fans talking about it?
Yeah, they literally, when I say fans, I mean, like, celebrity fans. But
oh, okay. I just remember they always have the little commentary type thing after or before special Lost episodes, if you remember that. That's why I thought you
were. You're right, the recaps.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it needed it.
Yeah.
But The Talking Dead is simply Chris Hardwick hosting a bunch of either celebrity fans or people that had to do with the show or actors or whatever talking about the episode we just saw.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of cool.
It's cool. I mean, only pure fanboy culture would somebody say, here's this thing you like, and then you watched it, and like, now watch another hour about people talking about it.
Yeah. Hey, did you watch The River?
Yeah. I have not, no.
I liked it. I was a little, I was kind of thinking, this is going to be kind of like the Blair Witch Project kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was, in a way. It's filmed like that. But it's a really cool show. Basically, it's about they're looking for, this family is looking for their father, who I guess it's a son and this guy's wife, and he's lost somewhere in the Amazon. He used to film a show kind of like a nature type show.
Okay.
And he disappears and they can't find him. So they want to go after looking for him. And they have a whole crew, another camera crew. They're filming this while they do it. They find the boat and it turns out that he was into something. You don't really know what, but you know, a lot of like voodoo and stuff like that, weird, like, you know, magic stuff, and that nobody even knew about. And it's still about them, just they don't know if he's alive or dead or what, but they find the boat and they somehow release a monster that you don't know what it is. You don't know what it looks like, anything. Kind of like the Lost monster, smoke monster, right, at the beginning. And it actually, you know, starts taking people. And, you know, but they cannot find any trace of the father.
Weird.
Except for documentaries, the videos that they were shooting of stuff that he was doing.
Bit by bit.
Yeah. So, you know, but there's just weird things like, you know, the Amazon, the whole series is kind of set basically on the Amazon River, and it's so long that they're going down the whole river basically to find him. But every time they get off, there's something, they run into some sort of like legend that's around there, or some sort of ghost or something like that. Like the second episode dealt with a ghost. Just a whole different things, but yeah, I mean, it actually is kind of one of those keep you on your seat type of shows. But no, I really enjoyed it. I wasn't really expecting to enjoy it that much, because I was like, yeah, this might be one of those type of Lost type shows that they're trying to recreate it. It really isn't. It's totally in its own realm of what it is, so.
Shows like that I'm into right now is definitely Alcatraz.
Yeah. Oh, man, Alcatraz. And there's so much they can do with Alcatraz, too. Because you have how many inmates are they looking for?
302 63s.
Yeah, and then they also found guards and stuff like that. So
yeah.
The last episode was really good with that guard.
Yeah, I mean they gave a lot more information. I mean they're stripping away a little bit of the mythology.
Yeah.
Quicker than I would have thought, because I think people don't have patience like they used to.
Yeah, Jeremy is actually watching it. He hasn't seen the episode, so we can't give away too much.
Well, they have to save the cheerleader to save the world.
Yeah, save the cheerleader, save the world.
And then there are these numbers that they have to press in.
Do you have to hit a button and then it...
save the world. To save the world, you have to save a cheerleader and press a button.
Oh, man.
I know. Doubling the stakes.
That's right.
Too many
too many genres.
Too many genres put together. And then, you know, Agent Mulder's trying to find his sister.
Yeah,
so.
We aren't alone. That's
not alone.
Yeah, poor Samantha, Mulder.
Yeah. You know, were you kind of disappointed when watching that? That you were just like, oh, yeah, she's dead.
Never missed an episode, and I watched it every Friday, because that's what good nerds do, is they sit at home and watch X-Files on Friday. And, it was just like, in, I think, season 7, they're like, oh, yeah, she's dead.
Yeah, and it's just like, wow. And it wasn't even what I was even expecting.
No.
It had nothing to do with, well, it kind of did, it kind of didn't.
It was a good episode.
Oh, yeah, it was a good episode.
I mean, it was like a really, like, heartfelt episode, because they wrapped up some other thing, you know, another story with, like, somebody else grieving.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the big mystery of X-Files just kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
My high school government teacher was a huge X-Files fan, and so he'd show us episodes of X-Files when he didn't feel like teaching.
Yeah.
Just out of order? Just randomly?
Yeah, just random episodes, had nothing to do with anything.
Oh, man, that would drive me crazy if it was part of...
Crazy? No.
Yeah.
Well, they were like more of the monster of the week type episode.
Oh, if it was the monster of the week type episode, you could do that.
No. Yeah, that's fine. If you're like a giant tapeworm, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Or if you want to like Cecil Lively like lighting things on fire, that's totally cool.
One of my favorite episodes, just because it's just hilarious, is the episode where they go to that town. It's all shot in black and white.
The episode is in season 5. It's called Postmodern Prometheus.
Yeah, that's it. And oh, that's a great... Yeah, the share. And then at the end, he gets the C-share. And you just feel so... You feel so happy for him, you know?
I've watched that one over and over. Like, again, like, I have every season on DVD. I watched each one as they came out. And, like, a lot of people's, like, when they do top 10 favorite episodes, Postmodern Prometheus comes up a lot, where they're, like, gassing everybody. And then you see that everybody is, like, a Dr. Island of Dr. Monroe kind of, like... creature person in the whole city.
Yeah.
Totally cool episode.
Oh, yeah, I love that episode. Oh, there's a bunch that I just love. That was just a good series. Too bad they can't make very good movies out of that.
I know, the last one was terrible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I wanted to love it, but... Speaking of terrible movies that I'm going to see tomorrow...
I know where this is going.
In
3D? who says, I'm going to go see a terrible movie? Me.
No, the scarier thing is who, you say that and we all immediately know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It is. 1999.
Yep.
There was a parking lot. There was a tent. And there was me inside of it. Overnight, waiting for what I thought would easily be my favorite movie of all time. It wasn't.
It wasn't.
You know what, Nick? At least you were smart enough to have the tent, because when me and my buddy did it, we slept on concrete.
Sleeping bags and everything.
Oh.
And we had our lightsabers to be able to, you know, read by.
Yeah.
So we were reading our Star Wars encyclopedias.
I was that guy in my town, Nick. So.
You were trying to refresh on continuity, right?
My mom, we actually overnighted to get tickets. And so I was the first person in my town that was able to buy tickets to that movie. And it landed me on the front page of our newspaper.
I was also on the front page
and
of our newspaper.
My mom, to this day, she was like, of all the accomplishments in your life, that is what gets you on the front page of the newspaper.
Hey, that is a great accomplishment. Too bad it was that movie, though.
Yeah, I mean, did you do what I do and bought a number of tickets?
I bought one ticket for consecutive showings. I saw it 5 times opening day, and then I had one ticket that I never cut.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so painful. Yep. I mean, I thought the next day, thinking I would have a day to talk about it.
Uh huh.
And I did see it the next day. And I don't. Did you come out of the movie like I did, going, well, you know, I mean,
You know,
wanting it to be good so much that you were trying to, like, make excuses?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hear, like, the very first time I watched it, I really liked it. Because I was still focusing on all the good stuff and, you know, the lightsaber duels at the end. So that's what's fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
And then it's like with every subsequent showing.
If it didn't have that, I don't know if that movie would have been...
It just tore a little piece out of my heart each time I saw it.
But mostly everybody blames Jar Jar Binks.
He's bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. I the I rewatched him recently with the Blu-rays. He's pretty terrible, but there's a lot terrible in that. And the only thing that's truly egregious to me that you can't take back is the metachlorates. That like to me, the concept of that makes me so angry.
Yeah,
I agree, because I was just kind of a little personally insulted about that, because, you know, my degree is in biology. Being a biologist being, you know, spoken to that way, just kind of...
But yeah, the Force, sure, you just, you know, it's like you catch it like a cold.
Exactly. Yeah. There's invisible life energy connecting all living things. I can handle that.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Star Wars mitochondria are actually responsible...
See, that's why I hope they never get rid of the Flash's Speed Force, because that wraps up in a like sort of mythological bow that I can say, you know what? I don't know what a Speed Force is, so I can't, you know, gauge it against anything else. But if it was pure science, it wouldn't stack up very long.
Seems like that's where they're going with this book, though.
Yeah, I mean,
they kill the Speed Force.
I hope they don't. That's why the stakes are high for me. I'm like, it makes a lot of the way it is makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't dispute that, so therefore, it's fine.
That makes me think, did you guys see the teaser art for Earth 2 that seems to imply that Dick is Batman and Donna Troy is Wonder Woman in Earth 2?
Yeah, the Ryan Sargent actually posted that to Facebook, and he was talking about that.
Makes me think that maybe that's where Wally will turn up.
Yeah, that's kind of where what they were thinking. I'm a little confused about Earth 2. I thought Earth 2 was the JSA.
Well, I mean, maybe they're not going to do what they've done every other Earth 2.
Huh.
I mean, historically, yeah, it's another Earth where there's no Justice League. There's simply a Justice Society. And then when they had Infinity Inc., they were saying that the Justice Society had been doing this for a very long time. And that the next wave of superheroes, i.e. what would be, you know, in Earth 1, the Justice League, would be this new group, Infinity Inc., who are all, like, have some kind of ties to the JSA.
Yeah, Earth 2 was the one.
Sense.
Earth
it's 2 more of a modern age Earth 2.
Well, yeah, because Earth 2 was kind of the one where all the characters aged in, like, real time.
Yeah.
So by the 60s and 70s, when they introduced the concept... They were saying that all the characters from the 40s existed in the 40s.
Yeah.
And so they...
Yeah, now they're 45 years old.
Whatever. Hey, and for anybody who's into Dick Grayson Batman, this is a good thing for them.
I don't know what to think. I think that those images have now totally changed the game as far as my expectations. Like, I don't know what to expect. And also, I think it's made more questions than answers.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it has, too. One thing, I don't remember, somebody on our Facebook group mentioned that, well, they're fighting on this cover, and then again, this is a variant cover, I think they said.
Yeah.
They're fighting against those things that the Justice League are fighting against Apocalypse, or Darkseid.
Yeah.
So the question was, at the same time, is Darkseid fighting both Earths?
Well, there's two... thoughts that have come up about this since this has been released since yesterday, so it tells you how much time I've spent on Twitter. One is that Darkseid is in the midst of a war against the multiverse, and that he is a god, and that he is, you know, like the fourth world was always meant to be its own dimension. There was no other fourth world than the one, so he was infiltrating all the Earths at the same time. The other thought is that this is another Earth where Darkseid came down and won.
Ah, okay.
And that's what makes this Earth different.
Huh.
This is the Resistance.
I'm kind of, I'm still excited for this book, though. I want to see it, because it seems like out of everything that's come out, it's the most different thing.
Yeah.
To come out that's just kind of new, so I'm going to pick it up.
I think this is the one that, of the new books, I think this is one of the ones that's aimed at the hardcore comic book reader more than any other books. Like, we're a voodoo, grifter, demon knights, all-star western. These are books that are aimed at, you know, non-comic book readers maybe first.
Yeah.
And they have a wide appeal. This one has no wide appeal.
Yeah.
You know, like, how would you get somebody to read this book who doesn't read comics.
Yeah, this would only be interested the people that would get this are only interested in it because they know about the multiverse.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see that.
But this flies in the face of everything else they've done that has, like, so at least a bend to it that is fairly approachable.
Yeah.
So this, to me, says, like, they want to have at least a book that exclusively courts the, you know, the old-school hardcore, you know, comic book fan.
In fact, I'm surprised they're doing anything with the multiverse, being that they did restart in order to kind of get away from it, I thought.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. They might not cross them over at all.
They might not. Well, I mean, I guess Earth 2 does, though. Or not, yeah. Earth 2, I mean, what the heck is that called? Oh, no, wait, yeah, what's the Huntress and...
those are Earth 2, aren't they?
Yeah, but that's not set in Earth 2. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's weird. What that's all about?
They're like a Legion Lost book. Like, they're from Earth 2,
yeah.
And it's them in our universe.
Well, what about this new...
There's two books.
Yeah, well, both books are. What that Penguin book is, too, right? No, maybe we're thinking about two different books. I was thinking about that, I can't remember, Huntress book? That new Huntress book that's out?
Yeah, that's the Earth 1, I guess we'll call it.
Okay.
The new Earth, or whatever, Huntress. This other Huntress, a different Huntress from the Earth 2 coming into our world.
Okay, and that's this new Huntress Power Girl book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Earth 2 people stranded on Earth 1.
That's confusing.
Yeah. I mean, there's precedents for it before. In fact, even semi-recently, the last, like, five or six years in Justice Society, there was an arc where a different Power Girl and a different Huntress came over to our universe.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm not, I've never been a fan of both of those characters.
Of any of the versions of them?
Not really. I was never a fan of Huntress during the whole Batman run, and I guess, the 90s? And
yeah.
Throughout? I don't know, she seemed kind of like an odd character to be in there. Especially being a who she was.
I liked her in, Grant Morrison's Justice League. And, I also liked her in the Justice League animated series.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what's the other book? There's something else they're advertising for now in the current, this week's books. I think that's one of the new books. Let me go and see what it is.
Well, there's also the digital books that are coming out, too.
Yeah, I don't, this one they're calling part of the New 52. It's probably not even in this book I just picked up. Hold on, here it is. Challengers of the Unknown.
Oh, are they just taking over DC, that anthology book?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah, that's what Jeremy just said.
Are you not familiar with the Challengers?
I don't think I am, no.
They are, Jack Kirby's, Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four. It was very much like his original concept for the Fantastic Four, except they don't have any powers.
Oh, okay.
They are like scientists and stuntmen and all this stuff, and they went on a mission. They should have died.
Uh-huh.
And because they didn't, they decided they're going to put their lives on the line for other people because they're already living on borrowed time.
Huh. Is that where Cyborg Superman came from?
No, Cyborg Superman was in the Man of Steel ongoing series.
I remember him being on a team.
He was on. He just created for like a little couple issue arc in Superman where they were really playing on the Fantastic Four. You know, this is like in the either late 80s, early 90s, where yeah, this was a team of people that went up to, you know, stole a spaceship, went up. Got hit by cosmic rays, and instead of getting, like, powers that let them fight, you know, fight crime, it, like, you know...
Mutated them until death, right?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, Henshaw was able to bring his wife back, but then when she saw what he turned into, this, like, robot thing, she killed herself.
Yeah.
Which then made him go crazy, and then, you know...
I'm actually kind of a fan of that character. Plus,
Me too.
He... He's also, I feel bad for him.
Right.
You gotta feel bad for him, because he's even tried to just kill himself.
Yes.
At the end of, what book was it? Was it Blackest Night?
Or, Blackest Night, yeah.
He tries to, like, totally destroy himself, and he still can't.
Yeah.
Like, just the little, smallest piece of him is still out there, and he's just, he's back. Yeah, that's why I think he's such an interesting character. I loved it when they kept throwing him into that, was he in Infinite Crisis?
Infinite Crisis, I don't know if he was. I feel like he wasn't. There was already enough Superman in that with Superboy Prime, and,
But afterwards, Earth 1, Earth 2 Superman.
Yeah. But really a lot of like plot points from Infinite Crisis with like the Anti Monitor and Superboy Prime were picked up in Sinestro Corps War, and that's where those guys teamed up with Sinestro and Cyborg.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about
funny books.
Yeah, the funny books. Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Don't you just love that? That's what my grandmother used to call them.
Really?
Yeah. I actually stayed with them when I was living in college, and she's like, "Oh, you got to go get your funny books today." She remembered Wednesday was comic book day, though.
Can I ask Nick a question?
You can ask Nick a question. You're being recorded.
Oh, no, that's fine. Hey, Nick, I got a quick question.
Well, sure. this is Chad, by the way, everybody.
Nick,
yeah.
Adam and I had this conversation about 2 weeks ago about the Indigo Tribe.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. Do you remember in War of the Lanterns?
Probably.
And when they were all captured into the book?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then it shows them breaking out of the book. But it shows the Indigo Tribe. She doesn't, like, talk with clicks. She's actually talking normal and saying Aban Sor put her there.
Yeah.
Is there any backstory up to that?
The next arc in Green Lantern is the history of the Indigo Tribe.
Oh.
And you're going to find out how they are, what they are. There's been some plot points since then. They kind of leak a little bit at a time. Like that second-in-command guy, that, like, rock guy.
The one that's in the Guardians?
Yeah. He can speak English, too, sometimes. Recently in the new Guardians, you know, Kyle said, you have the hands of a boxer, and it looks like you were a great fighter, and how did you become...
Well, he also said, I'll go with him because I don't want you to stab me in the back.
Yeah. I'm of the opinion that the Indigo Tribe, none of them are there willingly, that they all wear those collars around their necks, and that keeps them...
in check?
Like what they did with Black Hand at the end of
Exactly.
Blackest Night.
Exactly, that's, with Black Hand.
That's what I was trying to
say. Oh, yeah. Now I get it.
Yeah, they're all slaves, I think.
Because even if you look in that Green Lantern, the most recent one... It shows a Sinestro part of them again, or like a flashback. Did you see that?
No, I haven't read that book.
They've alluded to a couple times that their core was started by the actions of Aban Sur, and that something about Aban Sur is even in their oath. So he might have even started it. It might be like a penal colony or some kind of like. What he did with his rogues gallery, I don't know.
Because their emotion is compassion.
Correct.
So it might be something where, you know...
It might have been somebody's compassion is to turn, instead of killing these killers...
Right, give them like a second chance.
Yeah. They were saved by compassion, therefore they can wield it.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of a fan of the whole color spectrum at Green Lantern.
Makes you trying to figure out the whole Ray Palmer being compassion in Blackest Night in a whole new way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, because I was, it's funny that I was thinking about this, why I was thinking about this. I was lining up all my Green Lantern action figures, and I got the, I was doing them by Lantern Corps, and I had, I was getting them all, then I put the Ray Palmer, and I'm like, wait a minute, how did it work for him? Then I looked at his action figure, and I realized, he was the only one not wearing a collar.
Oh.
He didn't? I thought he had a collar on.
I'm going to look at a picture right now, but I feel like he didn't. I mean, I was thinking maybe he had compassion, everybody else was, forced by compassion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's does he?
No, he just has it's his Sword of the Atom costume, and he doesn't have the collar.
Yeah, I bet you're right about that, because, yeah, he has a lot of that with everything that happened in Identity Crisis, too.
He was going through, you know, that stuff, and he certainly was thinking, you know, that was the end of him. But I also was thinking, so I thought about that first, and then I thought about, in the current continuity, with the Green Lantern continuity staying, you know, pretty much the same, was Ray Palmer ever in that group?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he's only in Frankenstein right now.
Yeah. So that means, like, and they don't allude to him being the Atom in that, do they?
Well, I mean,
no, they've kind of they've kind of Hank Pymed him.
Yeah,
like he's more scientist than superhero,
and that's why they're what the headquarters are
not able to be shrunk down. Not anymore, though.
Well, true. Hank Pym is superhero.
Now, I mean,
he's back as Giant Man.
Based on DC's mandate for more characters of diverse backgrounds, I would imagine that this gives them an easy opportunity to bring back Ryan Choi, and they probably will.
Yeah,
I think what it says more than anything is that Jeff Lemire is a Ray Palmer fan, because he wrote that adventure back up
and then
included him into Frankenstein.
He makes sense for the kind of characters that he likes. Like, he's sort of like that damaged scientist.
Yeah. It is kind of funny, because when I think of, like, DC's Silver Age characters and what they've done with the new 52, it's really kind of disappointing, because a Ray Palmer Atom book would fit in perfectly with the tone of the new 52, in my opinion.
Yeah, I could see it. That is kind of odd that they...
Like a science fiction book.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I like the idea of both Ryan Choi and Ray Palmer, and Ray Palmer sort of like a veteran cop to Ryan Choi's, you know, or Troy's, or Choi, whatever, rookie cop. And of science.
Yeah.
So more like on a Lethal Atom.
What?
Lethal Atom. Lethal
Atom. Actually, I totally agree with you, Nick. That would be a very cool book.
Yeah.
And I like both characters. Like, I'm like a big Ray Palmer fan. When that new Atom book came out, I didn't want to like it, but I did.
Well, yeah. I loved how they killed him, though.
Yeah. They really killed him.
I didn't get that issue, what they do.
It was Deathstroke, right?
Yep. It took a whole team of people to take him down, so they gave him, like, a fitting death, in as much as, like, he really fought to the bitter end. Right. Unlike how Deadpool's gonna die.
Dead is dead.
Did you guys read 50?
Nah.
Yes.
Let's say, am I the only one that still reads Deadpool?
I picked it up just for it. I started it, put it down, and got bored quick.
It's a lot of X-Force stuff. It's very much like, if you like want to read everything with the X-Force in it, they're in it the whole time.
Yeah.
I like that. He wants to die, just like we talked about with Cyborg Superman. Deadpool's, the whole point of this is he actually wants to die.
Kind of like the Age of Apocalypse version of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. What was he, Dead Man Wade?
Yeah.
Where did I pull that from? Yeah, he got killed by Nightcrawler, right?
Yep.
That Nightcrawler that now teams up with him.
Yeah. but that was the whole thing in those issues, is that he was trying to die and couldn't.
Yeah.
So he said, Colin and I were talking the one day, and I said, you know, he's got Wolverine. I like the book. I think it's a good book. But he's got his Nightcrawlers now with the Imps or whatever they're called.
Yeah. Imps.
And then on X-Force they have Nightcrawler, and now. On in the other X book, they have the alternate reality teenage Nightcrawler,
and then Which they go that?
With the Logan.
Oh, the one. Then he's talking about Astonishing X-Men right now.
Oh yeah, there's probably a lot of Nightcrawlers there.
And then they got Wolverine now, so it's kind of he's
forget
got.
Forget about Nocturne. Well, you know what? Forget about Nocturne. Never mind.
Yeah, whatever happened to her?
Just written off.
Yeah.
Never mentioned.
She's probably still running around in the universe.
She they brought her into this. But now they got Blink, and then she disappeared. She's done, too.
Well, she went... At the end of the New Mutants, they said she went to join Wolverine's crew in Westchester.
Yeah.
She just hasn't shown up since.
That's I mean, it's probably a long trip, even though she can
She can blink there, right?
I think they were just mentioning that she's coming back.
She strikes me as the type of character that might show up in Legacy.
Could be.
With the lineup he's got in Legacy.
Could be. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Nocturne's one of those characters where you're like, oh yeah, they're still around, you know? Just like that, what was it, Mamorex or whatever?
Mamamax.
Mamamax, the stupid elephant.
Yes.
And then Adamax, the extreme. I always bring him up on like Twitter to like X-Men writers and stuff, and I'm like, you need to bring back Extreme.
Yeah.
I just want to be the only Extreme fan.
No, I remember him. He was going to be the third Summers brother.
Yep.
Which would kind of made a whole lot more sense than what they eventually did.
Vulcan, what a waste.
I thought it was going to be Remy for the longest time.
Yeah,
It was supposed to be Adam X, and then the rumor was that it was going to be Gambit, and they figured out, I think someone came to their senses, that there's no possible explanation for how Gambit could be a third Summers brother.
He's the Cajun one.
It's like Cajun Pawn Stars. You know, you're always going to have a Cajun one.
They pushed him out of the plane way before they landed.
Yeah.
And he landed on his head and he started speaking Cajun.
Yeah.
he landed on the language center and he...
And that just switches to other languages.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Fine. Hey, did you guys, I know Jeremy hasn't read it yet, so I don't want to ruin too much of it, but the first new issue, well, not new issue of it, but we've gotten back to Secret Avengers.
I dug it.
What'd you think, Nick? Did you read it?
I haven't read it yet. It's like, it's right up on the top of, like, my first wave of the books I've read are done, and then my second wave includes Carnage USA and that.
All right, well, I don't want to give too much away, though, but I... Well, I don't know about Jeremy here, too. He hasn't read it.
Oh, never mind.
I think the second book's going to be better than the first.
I think so. I really... With the addition. It didn't totally catch me yet. It had a cool ending. I'll give you that much. But there was this issue, and this won't give anything away. I was telling Jeremy about this when I came in. It has this formula that happens a lot in comic books and movies and TV shows that you get these teams... And they have a new team all together, a new leader. They go out and fight, but they just figured out, hey, we didn't train together yet, so we don't have to fight well together. You know, and that's kind of what this book was. And I think I see that all too much. I don't understand why that would have ever happened, because frankly, most of the team...
is militant trained.
Yeah, was military trained. And they were... most of them were already on the team to begin with. So I don't really know why that even happened. But all in all, for a first issue, it's not a first issue, though. It's just been sidetracked. It wasn't bad. Kind of interesting points in it. I kind of like the team. I think they have a lot of military-trained people in it. And then the next issue, it's hinting towards Venom being on it. So
he's supposed to be in it.
Yeah. But he might also be like... like Red Hulk being at Avengers.
It's not Red Hulk, it's Ralk.
Ralk.
And then there's She-Ralk.
He might become Cable Rock. Ralk, you never know.
I just like skimmed it a little bit, but man, do those villains look cool.
Yeah, that part, That was cool. So that's kind of why I'm waiting, especially also one of the villains sitting there is Max Fury. So yeah. It kind of jumps you back into what's going on.
So I know what's coming out soon, but Comeback Kings number 2 is coming out.
Comeback Kings.
Nick, you need to pick that up.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic book.
I don't read it, but if it's good, I'll read it.
I mean,
even if it's not, really.
Did you ever hear the premise of it?
No, what's it about?
So Bruce Lee is alive, and they're like this splinter cell group. It's him, Jim Morrison, Andy Kaufman, and I want to say there's somebody else. But this other killer is going around, and now they had to get the Thriller cell and release him, and it's Michael. How can you go wrong with a book like that, right?
That sounds insane.
Bruce Lee versus Michael Jackson.
No, Michael Jackson's coming to help Bruce Lee.
Yeah, okay.
So they have a martial arts expert and a famous female wrestler. Excellent. I love Andy Kaufman. Like,
hey, I saw that Bowman.
He is like the one of the greatest geniuses of our time.
Yeah.
Anybody that can like be funny to only themselves and then stick with it that long.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I
that sounds like an insane book.
Yeah, that does. Chad actually walked off for a little bit, but what was that other book?
Did you read Wolverine and the X-Men Alpha and Omega?
Not yet. It's like two down on my list.
Yeah, you can keep it there.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay. It's just slow.
That's no fun. What all happened?
You know, I like that area of the world so much, that of the Westchester right now. I'm kind of like forgiving of it a bit, but it's like nothing happens.
Yeah, no fun. Kind of like that Magneto, not a villain.
I'm not a hero.
Yeah.
It's going nowhere slow, but man, did I never think I would ever see Joseph in a comic again.
Yeah, you and me both.
Of the 90s crap that's being, you know, brought back, the one that I am excited about every month now is Scarlet Spider.
Yes, that's been a fantastic book through two issues. Fantastic.
Hey, I was actually hoping in that whole X-Sanction thing that Red Hulk was infected with that, and he, with the, what's it called? The cyber, what's that thing called? The cable.
Techno-organic virus?
Yeah. And I was hoping he'd get the arm and pouches.
Yeah, I mean, without the pouches, kind of, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
What was on your top Hulk tier this week, pouches. Nick?
I can look at my books I've already read, but oddly enough, one of the books that I was just... And I do it on, like, a gut thing. I do it...
Sure. You know, like, yeah, really, I do the same.
Wolverine and the X-Men number one, or five, was my first. And then, for whatever reason, I grabbed Scarlet Spider.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, those were in my top.
And then after that, Deadpool 50, because I kind of want to know where it was going.
And then Superboy.
Superboy was actually there. No, I'm not joking. I have it right in my hand right now. I'm looking at it. Because I wanted to see how these two characters would interact, you know?
What did you think of it? It's opening up a door for Doomsday?
Kinda.
Yeah, with the Connell aspect?
Yeah, they threw it right out there, you know, that, like, that there was... And now, there's always been a history of, like, you know, a bad time in Krypton's past of cloning. So, like, tying him into that sort of, like, makes sense.
But one thing that's driving me crazy about the character, Superboy, obviously, I love the character. I just think that particular character of human and alien's an awesome idea. But his powers, he's become
the Phoenix.
Exactly. He's become Jean Grey.
Yeah, he's no Superman character.
And now his costume, is he repairing the costume, or is the costume repairing itself?
They haven't explained that yet.
They haven't explained it. He's hoping it's the one, but...
I don't think the costume's going to last, though. It doesn't seem like
it's
going
to
happen.
No, it is, because did you see the cover of the up-and-coming Teen Titans where they all become Tron-esque?
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, there's they've hinted at it twice now, the Culling.
Uh-huh.
Which is coming up, and it's going to be a crossover between Legion's Lost, Superboy, and Teen Titans, and they're going to put all those books together and have everything that has to do with Nowhere.
Yeah.
But you know what else is on the top of my list now that I think about it that was really funny is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trade, in which I've already read.
Hey, is Legion Lost actually have...
Yeah.
Is it...
Nowhere? No.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say... I haven't really disliked Teen Titans.
I don't love it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, exactly. It has its moments.
It was one of the top books in my pull pile when Jeff Johns was doing it.
And you know what? I think out of Superboy in that, I think I like Teen Titans much better.
Yeah.
Frankly, I still don't know why Superboy needs his own book. I think a lot of this could have been told in Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Red Robin, I think, could have had an issue, book, mainly because where did he go? Like, besides Teen Titans, like, you only saw him in one issue of Batman. Is he still part of Batman's group? Does he come back for anything? How does Nowhere tie into
anything else going on in DC right in New 52 right now. Like, why are they hunting teenagers and not? That's the only thing that throws me for a loop.
Yeah, like, why teenagers?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I just like comics where, you know eventually the lead character is going to lose an eye and look like Samuel Jackson. So. At least one book this month satisfied that for me.
Yeah, how are you enjoying that book?
It's a lot of, like, obscure characters, but you know that the end... did you see the last page of it?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Last page of what? Oh, who knows? Do you think they're? Do you think that's where they're? I mean, there's no way they're not going.
The last thing he says is, "How about this? My name is Fury, kid. And so is yours.
And so is yours." Yeah.
Next issue, he loses an eye. The next issue, he's going to be fighting snakes on a plane.
Yeah. I tell you,
it's so overly forced. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't get it. I think that's going to upset a bunch of people if it does go into that direction.
I'm a little upset about the terms.
But, what was the other book that I read? Oh, Batman and Robin. How are you liking that, Nick?
A lot, actually. It's, besides... Oh, this is crazy. Besides the, Batman book. It's my second favorite Batman book.
I agree. I think that's where it is on mine.
Yeah.
I just love Damian. You know?
I do too. And I like how this is forming the relationship now. We haven't had a book that formed a relationship between Bruce and Damian. I think this is starting it.
Reminds me of
being that he was dead and all.
Right. Yeah, it's a very different relationship than Dick and Damian.
Yeah.
You know, a book that had a horrible start that... I read this morning that I think is slightly getting better is Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk?
It's getting better?
I thought it was getting... I read today's issue, and it was one of the better issues.
How many animals had Hulk powers in it?
Like half of them. There was a great thing. There was a great thing with a hulked out monkey, but the nice thing about this issue, number one, no more Mark Silvestri art, which for me is a good thing.
I agree.
Number two, they explain how they got split. Now, I don't know if you guys are reading the book, not reading the book, care if I spoil it.
Couldn't care less.
Okay, Dr. Doom.
Oh.
Basically, Hulk appealed to Dr. Doom's vanity, saying, you know, Banner always said it's not possible to separate us. You know, if he can't do it, no one can. And, you know, Hulk was manipulating... Doom in that way, and basically what happened is Doom cloned a body of Banner and, like, performed brain surgery on the Hulk and, like, quite literally excised Banner in that manner. But apparently the whole thing was Hulk saying, you know, you better not screw me, otherwise I'll come after you. And Doom says, oh, don't worry, I'm going to remove absolutely all traces of Hulk from Banner, implying that, you know, that's how you have this current setup where Banner is the pseudo-villain.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's kind of implying that Hulk had, like, a lot more of the redeemable qualities of the two than what either ever admitted.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, or anybody, for that matter, what did you guys think of Power Girl's new costume?
Didn't bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
It bothers me.
What?
Power Girl. I mean, I'm
why,
not.
Chad?
Because I like her breast.
I think everybody can agree on that one.
I thought that joke got old about 10 years ago.
Wasn't the joke is the creator just kept on making them get it?
Well, yeah. Like, when she started out in the 70s, she was just normally, you know, proportioned. It wasn't like...
And then they just kept on making her bigger and bigger and bigger?
Yeah. The one thing,
and then finally, that's what created the new 52, because they just got...
That's it.
What were you saying, Nick?
I think that her costume looks, like, eerily like Supreme from Image.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like Supreme Girl?
I thought the P rather than the S was an interesting little touch. Like,
yeah.
To at least let you know on some level that she is supposed to be a Supergirl analog and...
Yeah.
Part of the Superman family, which honestly, with the old costume, is something that was never really
obvious.
Yeah.
And Huntress was Robin?
No. Huntress is the daughter of Bruce Wayne.
No, but...
On Earth 2, they're saying that Huntress was Robin,
Oh, okay.
The Superman costume I like better than the actual one they have now.
The one Earth 2 Superman? Yeah, I agree, Nick.
It almost looks like the... was it like the DC 1 million Grant Morrison costume?
Yeah.
That's what those costumes look like, DC 1 million.
I like it because the thing with the new Superman costume that bothers me is there's actually not enough yellow. It's because they just, it's, I don't know, so without having that yellow belt, there's just enough yellow gone that now he's just too blue
up,
and red.
What's
and,
up with that costume, though?
Well, that's the Earth 2 costume. Yeah. That's the one Nick was saying kind of reminded him of the DC 1 million.
Speaking of Earth 2, the new Earth 2 book, we already discussed who we think Wonder Woman and Batman are. Who's Superman?
Well, if you follow that logic, it's probably Kal-El.
Okay.
Or is there a Kal-El in this world? You know, it's not like he's part of like the Silver Age mythos like the other ones.
True.
Or it's simply that, you know, Clark doesn't age.
So what are you guys saying? That Wonder Girl, I mean,
well,
the theory,
Donna,
yeah,
Donna
the theory
Troy,
and that Batman is Dick.
Yeah, because Dick's using the...
If this is the Earth 2 we think it is, Clark should already either not exist or have aged, right?
Mon-El.
I said Kal-El.
It could be Mon-El.
Mon-El, it could be.
That's interesting.
But yeah... We've went into silence.
Chad just blew our mind.
I know. Whoa.
And I'm not even on the podcast.
You're on this one.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I haven't not talked about lawsuits in like a couple hours. It's amazing.
Yeah, that is quite the hot button issue.
Loki. I feel like this week's podcast is going to be dominated by it.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, Nick, what did you think of the stills of Loki's army?
You mean the Skrulls?
Yeah, or Kree. I've
got an idea. Interesting. I mean, there's Toy Fair is this weekend, too.
But, I mean...
So, I've been following a lot of that, you know, stuff coming out of there. And there's a... I don't know if you guys saw that there's a game.
The Skrulls? Did you see the On Bleeding Cool?
Yeah.
That little... they had the stills of them jumping out of the plant, out of the ship?
No.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's Loki's army revealed in Avengers Super Bowl trailer, and we know they are. And then it says ish.
Skrullish, yeah.
But they actually look more like the Frost Giants.
Huh.
From Thor?
That would make more sense.
That's exact.
Yeah, they really do. But this one has a helmet. It's not really Kree, like... I mean, they can do whatever they want.
But that game that you were talking about, they also have Thor looking more like Ultimate Thor. Is that what you're talking about, Nick?
Yeah, like... I don't know. There's toys that came out... Not toys, but, like, little game pieces that came out for this upcoming Avengers movie tie-in game. And, like, the little game piece aliens look like hardcore Skrulls.
Did you ever see the demo reel for the up and coming Marvel Avengers game, where they're battling an alien and it looks like a Super Skrull, and he has all the Fantastic Four powers.
Well,
but it's also Ultimate Thor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, with that, can you take any of it, you know, to heart?
But didn't you hear they can't be Skrulls because the rights of the name Skrull are tied up with the Fantastic Four franchise?
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, that's what...
That makes sense.
Bleeding Cool ran that yesterday when they were showing some of the Toy Fair images. There was like a board game, and it had these little game pieces that looked Skrulls.
I didn't scroll down.
And he was saying that the name Skrull is tied up with the Fantastic Four franchise, and that two possibilities are they call them Chitauri, but the way some of the toy licensing, which seems to be divulging a lot of the details, is kind of what we were saying the other day, one of the Nine Realms. Like Muffleheim.
That makes more sense.
That's why they look very similar to the Frost Giants.
Yeah, but yeah, it's, so I think it it's just really going to be a different one of the nine realms.
For him to, for Loki to pull out aliens, though.
No, would I put it past
Then again, he does
them?
Have the cosmic cube, doesn't he?
Would I put
in,
it...
in a two-hour movie, though, to explain, like,
yeah,
like his go-to thing was aliens? I don't know.
Yeah, that seems kind of...
My thought is that, you know, the name is probably right, you know, Muffleheim and whatever, you know, beings are from there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have Skrull-like characteristics or, you know, something.
Yeah, the
sleep,
a wing.
Yeah, the sleeper agent.
So, in the movie, let's just say... There, is it confirmed or has it been squashed about Spider-Man? Because this article saying that he makes an appearance as both Spider-Man and Peter Parker in the movie.
Your guess is as good as ours.
That's the character Andrew Garfield that's playing Spider-Man?
I mean,
yeah, that's who's playing Spider-Man.
It's kind of still at this point
well, he
all
says
up in
he,
the air. Well, yeah, he says that and somebody else says it's not. It's just, you know, who do you believe?
I would go with the actor.
Over one of the producers or directors or...
Well, they have more to, like, you know, to hide.
Yeah.
They're in the hiding stuff business.
True.
Group hug.
Group hug, oh, well, that'll be cool.
Yeah, you're definitely right. That is hardcore Skrull.
I find it, in this whole movie, of watching all these other movies, I find it odd that Tony Stark is going to be fighting Asgardians. You know, just because you were watching the other movies, it was all about science and technology, and then all of a sudden he's fighting. And I know it's from the comics, you know, that from Avengers he fights anybody, but
well,
it just seems kind of funny.
The plot just thickens. He actually goes to Odin and says and starts drinking in front of him again.
So. Drinking in front of him? He hardly drank anything in the movies. Well, he did get, like, wasted in the second movie.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That scene was terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, come on. You know, for those of us in the audience that didn't know Tony Stark was... So let's just hit you over the head with it.
I'm sure there was a mother in the audience that didn't really understand that part of Tony Stark, and they were like, oh, he's drinking. You know, this wasn't in comic books back in the day.
Hey, Nick, did you read Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Killer?
I read, like, half of it, and then I got this, you know, I dropped it for whatever reason. But not that I didn't like it, but I have it somewhere here. I've seen some stills from the movie.
Yeah, me too. They look pretty good, eh?
Yeah, I'm more excited for World War Z, though.
Mm-hmm.
World War Z is one of my favorite books, and, like, the audio book of that is absolutely amazing because they have this full cast of, like, big actors that do voices.
I just think it's funny that... It's a, you know, like, I saw that one portion of that Abraham Lincoln movie. It's Abe Lincoln turns 203 years old.
Yeah. I guess that's fine. Sometimes you do.
Yeah. I tell you. Hey, when does Avengers the Earth's Mightiest Heroes, is it, are they in a
April.
New season by now? Or?
April.
Yeah.
April?
Kinda...
April or March.
That sounds right.
What season would they be in now?
Two.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like season one's taking a long time. Or season two's taking a long time.
That's like DC Nation. Doesn't it start in March as well?
Yeah.
March 3rd.
I'm kind of excited for that.
See, I like the Young Justice.
I guess these are more shorts, though, right?
Well, it's a block of programming where it's Green Lantern, Young Justice, and then a short.
Okay.
A couple shorts.
Because I love DC shorts, though, that they make.
So...
They just put enough into that.
Columbia Pictures just dropped the Boys movie.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
That's disheartening. Somebody needs to do that. Like,
no, like dropped it. Like
they're not doing it.
Somewhere along the line, I'm sure it'll come back.
You guys excited for the new Milhouse comic book?
Milhouse.
I'm getting it. I'm, like, unabashed Milhouse fan. He's, like, my favorite Simpsons character besides comic book guy.
I'm a big turtle. That turtle guy?
Oh, yeah, turtle guy, yeah.
And what's the other guy's name?
Hans Moleman?
Yeah, the Mole Man. I'm sorry. So
Hans Moleman. Yeah, he's good. Milhouse is actually, Matt Groening's favorite character.
Oh, okay.
And his least favorite character is Database, which I feel, I hope you guys don't know who that is.
Yeah, no, I don't.
That's good. One of the nerdy kids.
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah.
The kid with the glasses, you can see him in the background of the Lisa scene in the opening sequence.
Okay.
This is a very...
So I'm looking at this...
Sad knowledge.
I'm looking at this right now, and it says, the abandoned and forsaken archives
uh-huh.
of storylines. Doc Strange meets Ben Franklin.
Uh-huh.
The Little Mermaid is dead. When'd that happen, Nick?
I don't have my thumb on the pulse of that.
Poison Ivy's real name is Lillian Rose.
Is it?
Oh, no, I'll take
The Falcon is a mutant.
The Falcon is a mutant, yeah.
Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's father is the Wizard.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, what is this?
These are actual storylines that they just stopped in the middle.
I think that's probably
the giant size Avenger number one, the Golden Age hero, the Wizard, shows up at the Avengers mansion. Eventually, he reveals to the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver that he is their father.
No way.
Well, I mean, maybe he said that for some reason. You know, later in continuity, they decided they didn't want that.
Yeah.
But in the Scarlet Witch Vision miniseries, that's when Magneto for the first time came out and said, I'm actually your father.
Huh. Doesn't he have another... I might be thinking of the cartoon
Polaris.
Series.
Polaris is...
Yeah, but I was thinking... The cartoon series...
Again.
Then they always make it that, like... I know Mystique's son is supposed to be Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Who was the father? Oh, yeah. No, I know the father. He was that red guy.
Movie.
Yeah, what was his name? What is his name?
As... shoot, it's not Azrael, it's like Azul, or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. You don't see him much anymore. Is he dead in the comics?
No. No. Worse than dead, he was created by Chuck Austin. Never to be referenced again.
Except for that movie.
Yeah, which was so weird.
And they didn't even kill him off, they added him to Magneto's team.
Yeah, he could be around forever.
I want to see a sequel to that movie.
They sort of putting it together. Vaughn agreed to do it.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Is it Azel? A-Z-A-Z-E-L.
Azizel.
Azizel.
That's exactly what it is.
Azizel. Yeah, that was a good movie. And for Kevin Bacon to be in it, that just adds more to the six degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need more movie. He needs to be in more, so we can. Well, that game will become useless.
He looked so goofy in that Magneto helmet, though.
Yeah, he did.
Did you guys? What was the deal with the movie that came out last week? That was it. Oh my God! What, Chronicle?
Chronicle, yeah.
Oh yeah, I've heard it's actually pretty good.
So what are they all Xavier-esque?
I think so.
Something about they get superpowers in some way. I think it's from like a spaceship, isn't it? Or something? A meteorite?
No, I know.
And then basically...
Like Push?
What is it?
Is it like Push?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anybody read the new Adventure Time comic?
No, I didn't. I was wanting to. Did you read it?
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I need to watch the show a little bit. I haven't really been able to watch the show.
I've never missed an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Of what?
I'll have to go
Adventure
find
Time.
It.
There's like 9 covers for number one, too.
That's what I think I heard, too. I think Colin said he had to get like a certain amount or something.
It must have 120.
To get it.
The art's really cool in it. I mean, it's just a wacky book.
Yeah. That's what I saw. I was looking at the world map. I guess the one side of the Earth, or their world, is like
gone.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, according to the story, there was a mushroom war. That's how they reference it, i.e., a mushroom cloud.
Mushroom cloud.
They just call it the mushroom war.
Yeah, I need to look into that show.
It's just, I mean, it's a kid's show, for sure, but
yeah.
It's funny.
That's okay. I like Batman Brave and the Bold, and I also get the issues. So.
Yeah.
I really like that series.
The last this last issue had Batmite.
It was like Batmite and Batgirl?
Yeah, Batmite, Batmite falls for Batgirl. It's like a Valentine's issue.
Why not?
Yeah.
Speaking of Valentine's, there's roses petals on there.
The
like towels of suspense. Do you have any of those?
The what was it? Oh, I was finally able to read Tower of Babel.
It's one of the best.
Yeah, I loved it.
Well, that's what Doom's about,
huh? Yeah, yeah. That's what Doom's. Well, it's like a cross, isn't it? It's like their own take on Doom.
It's their own take on it.
Yeah.
It borrows very heavily from it.
Cool reunion of voice actors.
Yeah, they got all the JLU guys, right?
Yep.
Kevin Conroy and...
You know what I didn't know? I didn't know for the longest time that the voice of the Flash on there was the guy who was Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Yeah, like a picture
Michael
too.
Raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know that there was a Justice League episode where the Flash and Lex Luthor switched minds?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole thing was the Flash was Michael Rosenbaum voiced Lex Luthor in that episode.
That's awesome.
It's like the whole reason they did it. It's called the Brain Robbery. Yeah, the Great Brain Robbery.
Hey, are you excited for the digital comic of Smallville?
Season 11.
Yeah.
I did not like about 50 to 75% of the show, and I've seen every episode.
Yeah.
Like, I like the source material.
Yeah, that's kind
of
weird.
25% of the episodes are really good.
Yeah.
Then there's also, like, episodes where people become witches, so.
I think it's funny that the new Lois Lane was in Smallville.
Really?
Yeah, that's where she got her first start. She, I think it was in the first season. She was,
her child, because that was like 12 years ago.
Yeah. She was like an ugly chick, and, she got her powers from beauty by absorbing other people.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
It's Amy Adams, right?
Amy Adams, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. You know,
Monsters of the Week?
What's that?
She was one of the Smallville Kryptonoid Monsters of the Week.
Yep, yeah, she was.
You know, I'm sure all of you know this, though, but I'll just throw it out there. Lana Lang for the movies is the mother, and is Martha Kent.
And one of his father used to evade the authorities.
Yeah.
In a vehicle that allowed him to fly.
That's right.
So his son couldn't fly, but he could fly with aid of a specific vehicle.
You know what's kind of funny? I went to Steel City Con last summer, and main reason I went was because Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell was going to be there, so I got to meet him.
Yeah.
And,
sure.
So.
Many boyhood dreams.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't Screech or anything, but
yeah,
I'm actually happy.
Didn't have the money for Screech.
Yeah. No way.
Or anybody for him to box.
Yeah, speaking of Dukes of Hazzard, I was a little kid, loved that show. Didn't realize until, my adult years that they were all moonshiners and rum runners.
Pretty racist.
Yeah.
The whole Mr. Belding thing, though, when we were waiting in a line out there, somebody was carrying in a door from the General Lee. And we were like, who is here? Did they get like a late guest or something? Who is here that was in Dukes of Hazzard? It turned out it was him.
Was in Duke's Hazzard?
And it turned out he was in like one of the first episodes.
Random.
Yeah. And we were just like
20 years of Mr. Belding.
So they had him sign the door, and I was like, wow, are you really just not getting enough like Dukes of Hazzard people at this? Well, supposedly they had what's his name, who was the Jonathan Kent. He's been there.
Was Belding ever in Good Morning, Miss Bliss?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was the principal.
Yeah.
This is still a comic book podcast, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to know that answer.
I actually know quite a lot about Saved by the Bell, which I will admit.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's explore
because
that.
Because that show was...
Let's explore the college years, the movie.
Yeah. Well, that show was on every morning before I went to school. So that's what I'd watch before I went to school because there was like nothing else
with
the news.
Little known fact, it started out as a Disney Channel series when it was Miss Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it... yeah,
they created the cell phone before there were cell phones.
Yeah,
yep.
And you know, I know these little random facts. Like they graduated from high school twice in that show.
Really?
Yeah.
They just thought nobody was paying attention the first time.
Well, and I always go back because of being into comic books and all. There's two Earths of Saved by the Bell.
Sure.
There was when they added Tori, who was the girl in the motorcycle jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a different continuity.
Sure.
Of Saved by the Bell.
It's like first season they skipped to a different world. Yeah.
Well, before they added Tori though, they graduated high school.
Yeah.
And then they graduated again with Tori.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that was Earth 2.
Yeah. I call that Saved by the Bell Earth 2, and then you know you go.
Wow.
And then you go back. And it turned out that their school when Good Morning Miss Bliss was on a different Earth altogether.
Okay.
Because they were in a different town and state completely.
We've crossed over.
Saved by the Bell.
I want to see how much we can talk about Saved by the Bell.
How about the later years when they went to college?
That might be a different Earth altogether.
Bob Golic was the...
Was that Bob Golic?
Yeah.
So did they ever go to Hawaii?
Yes, they did. And they even got into like a... They kind of cross-referenced Brady Bunch. They even had one of those evil tiki creatures.
There was a tiki god?
Yes, there was.
And that took place in Saved by the Bell Earth, too.
And then they had to, do you remember they had
to go help customers now.
They actually had to, they had
this
to,
isn't helping anybody.
They had to save,
no.
it was
I feel
like,
sorry for our one listener.
It was, it was a hybrid between Brady Bunch and, Dirty Dancing, because they had to save the resort.
Yeah,
dancing.
You're doing yourself no favors there, Brady. It was a tiramisu with rose petals on it. Talking about Dirty Dancing.
It's Screech in a corner, though. Seriously.
Yeah,
nobody put Screech in a
corner. Colin is gonna love this podcast.
Yeah.
Nobody put Screech.
The first part of it, you're like, well, I'm sure it turns out fine. I'm sure it doesn't de-evolve into some giant
thing. Saved by the Bell. Did they make a Saved by the Bell comic book?
You know, they missed something there.
No, I
believe
think
he does.
Did.
If they did, then this worked.
If they did, there is Marvel. Marvel would have done that.
Being that Screech is a mutant.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, no, I think so.
No, don't you remember he had the...
he had a psychic ability.
No, not the psychic ability.
Well, he did.
He was extremely endowed.
It was published... by Harvey Comics in the 90s, there were 5 issues.
We don't have any for sale here.
About this.
Yeah, we could keep talking about Saved by the Bell.
So what's up with the robotic butler that Screech has?
what's his name?
I don't remember either.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell comic. I think he made it. Screech was brilliant.
In high school.
Yeah, in high school.
But think about their careers and where...
It kind of looks like an Archie comic.
Just think about their careers and how it really took a wrong turn.
Yeah.
You got Zach who went on to NYPD Blues, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then eventually he's the Franklin of Franklin and Bash, I believe.
And then what happened to the Jesse? She became a stripper.
Yeah.
And then what was the other girl's name?
Kelly.
Lisa Turtle?
Kelly, she ended up on VAPS.
She was on Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, she was on that, but then she was on this TV show with Bill Bellamy where they steal cars. And you know who else was on it? The Dr. Cooper from Nurse Jackie, who also is in, what's that, vampire, werewolf, teen drama crap?
Dude. We're in, like, scary territory, man.
Twilight.
We need to get this back to comic books.
Well, if we had any of the Saved by the Bell comic books, we'd be able to talk about them.
Well, I looked it up. Now I remember. For Screech's robot's name was Kevin.
Kevin, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, I loved all those TGIF TV shows because they always, even back, dating back to the Dukes of Hazzard, they had one common denominator. Do you know what that was?
What's that? Screech?
The Harlem Globetrotters.
Screech. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ratings went down. We brought in the Globetrotters.
That's right.
And then they pulled something out of their afro to help them.
Did anyone else think it was a defining moment of your early adulthood when you learned that Bob Saget of Full House fame was actually a smut comic?
Yes.
Yeah. That's where cynicism began, I think, in America.
It's kind of ironic because he played Danny Tanner, the cleanest person on earth.
Yeah.
Who raised two crackheads. And
billionaire crackheads.
No, they weren't the crackheads.
Who eventually killed the Joker, so...
Oh my God! And it,
Dark?
And we brought it back. We brought it back. We brought it back.
Danny Tanner equals Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen equals dead Joker.
Yeah, and he just pulled like a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right?
Bob Saget
through Bob Saget.
He's a Sebastian Shaw.
And this will be the segment of the podcast where we try to link famous D-list celebrities back to comic books.
Back to comic books.
While never not talking about Saved by the Bell.
Speaking of Saved by the Bell, oh, now we're back. Oh, man.
This is podcast.
It's a generation-defining show, I'm sure.
This is podcast gold, let me tell you.
Watch this be like the highest-rated podcast we've ever done. And it was all because of Saved by the Bell. And last week, Tostitos.
Saved by the Bell is like Fight Club, though. You don't talk about it.
Rule number one.
You just watch it.
That's the funny thing. Everybody watches it, but nobody talks about it.
Nobody wants to talk about it.
That's what I'm saying.
But I guarantee you, everybody on this or listening to this can guarantee they could sing the opening theme song.
I can sing the opening theme song to a lot of shows. It doesn't mean I'm proud of it.
Well, the thing is, it has the continuity of so many of these comic books that we read. It has like a crazy like universe. No,
it's something Marvel would have wrote.
That's probably true.
Well, the thing is like, wasn't there a magician at the Max?
Yeah, see?
So like, that's like Doctor Strange.
Exactly. That's how I saw it.
Or Brother Voodoo, however you want
to
look at it.
Mr. Belding's kind of like Samuel Jackson's Nick Fury, where he's bringing everybody together.
Definitely.
You know, he links everyone.
Or he might be more like Charles Xavier.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Where he has a school for these teenagers.
Yeah.
And Zach is more on the lines of Cyclops and Remy.
I don't know.
So who is Screech?
Screech? Toad.
He creates artificial intelligence. he's loved by no one.
He's Beast.
He's kind of like Beast. He's shunned by most people because of his outward appearance.
He's after the second mutation.
Yeah, exactly. The second mutation is a Screech-like
look. And if that happens, that might be the end of my Marvel run there.
First you'll look like a cat, then you'll look like a Screech. And I hope you like celebrity boxing, because that's part of your future.
Oh, man, we got the song here, too. Oh, wait, I just thought of another part of Saved by the Bell. The new class.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna test the Saved by the Bell trivia here. Who did Zach diss his friends for?
Diss his friends for? Oh,
that's kind of vague.
No. This is the middle school era.
His dad?
No, for the Thunderbirds. It was his club that he got to wear the members only jacket.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, I just remember wearing a lot of starter stuff while watching this show.
And now you can get starter at Walmart.
Really?
Yeah.
It used to be tough to get.
Betsy Romo endorses it now.
No, someone has to.
Well, they, you know, what's funny about that series, their set. The set of that show only took place in, like, maybe three rooms.
A hallway?
The hallway by the locker.
The hallway? The classroom by the locker. The locker room and the office.
And Belden's office.
Belden's office. Sometimes the gym.
The Max.
And the Max.
And the Max. It's a very low budgeted show. They did a very good job. But
you should change the title of this podcast to The Max.
To The Max? We'll have to talk to Colin on that one.
Huh.
What was the guy's name at The Max? The magician?
Max.
That's what I want to know. What was his name?
Max.
Was it? Was he the titular Max?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his name was actually Max.
Max of The Max?
Max. I think that's what they called it. The Max. I could be wrong.
I am looking it up.
This is exciting.
I assumed he was Max.
Ooh,
I'm sure people called him Max.
Hey, it's The Max, Max.
Hey, I know how we could get off of this again.
I don't think we can, but go.
Doctor Who.
Nothing like a TARDIS to solve their problems.
Exactly. When's the new season started, though? The new series?
I want to say April?
April? I'm trying to get caught up so I can start right onto it. I'm in Matt Smith episodes right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of my favorite episodes of that is with the Weeping Angels.
Aren't they cool?
Yeah. If anything, that is the most creative villain kind of character that I've seen. I just think it's pretty cool. I mean, they don't do anything, except when you turn your back. You know?
Well, I mean, wait till you meet the Silence. Then they have a similar motif that's even crazier.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I was wondering. I think it's The Ends of Time. I think that's the last David Tennant episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part one and two.
When the Time Lords show back up, and the one played by Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, he was the president or whatever.
Yeah, he punishes the two traitors by having them cover their eyes like the weeping angels of old, he calls them.
Yeah.
Is that, they're not actually, they don't become weeping angels, he's just comparing them?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just a race that's almost as old as him.
I was questioning that with Colin, he couldn't remember it exactly, but I was like, I wonder, wouldn't that be interesting if it turned out that they were actually Time Lords, but that was how they were punished.
Like a Phantom Zone kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Max, his name was Max.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's cool. We figured it out.
Yeah, did the Saved by the Bell ever cross over with Doctor Who?
Oh, yeah, I wish.
It says here that it did.
Did you see the comic book that's going to be crossing over with Doctor Who?
Saved by the Bell?
No, is it Legion?
I don't know Legion.
Really?
No, it's...
The Star Trek Legion is very...
Star Trek. It's Star Trek. The Next Generation is crossing over with a comic book with Doctor Who.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that today, I think, on Bleeding Cool, I think.
Oh, I don't know. My mind's just toasted from Saved by the Bell.
They have a cover of it that has the Doctor, it's Matt Smith, Rory, and Amy are on the, like, deck. And Doctor Who's sitting in the captain's chair.
So why don't we do? Don't they have that 24-hour comic book day where they write
yeah.
a? We should do a Saved by the Bell crossover with like five different other titles. Like, let's think about it. Wolverine and the X-Men. Wolverine and
hey, but that's already been done with Archie.
But we can make this like. Like the new, like Wolverine needs whole new professors, and he brings in Zach and AC and Kelly, and
it's really hard to get them to do anything. Actually, when I was at that Steel City Comic Con, I asked him the first question I had to ask was the reunion, because they were always talking about the reunion on the Fallon.
I was joking. Well, you're taking this to a whole nother level, my
but
friend.
I did ask him, and he says. That they had a lot of issues, but he said that the main issue was with Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
And her career is just...
She didn't want to do anything. And I was like, yeah, exactly.
And
right
now
what
she
exactly...
could probably do something for a dollar and maybe a couple pills of OxyContin.
And we're into the defamation sector.
Yeah, what just happened there?
Zach Morris got 15-20 on the SATs, according to this website. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've heard about
on
that.
On the show too. Or
no,
in real life?
Show, in real life.
No, on the show. I mean, so you can use that fact someday.
It's one of those that'll come in handy in life.
But is that based off the current SATs or the...
Yeah, this is when they were a little bit slanted towards preppies.
Only people that wore IOU sweaters.
Screech.
Never read his book?
No.
He has a book called Behind the Bell.
No.
Yep.
You are a really, you're like a super fan.
I just know all this. I know, that like Nick, I know like stuff.
He's like Layla Miller. He knows stuff.
Yeah.
He is
a might not be all comic books, but for some reason I know stuff. And I can't get it out.
We need
Zach's best man in his wedding.
In real life?
No, in the show. Yeah. I don't care about real life.
He only got married once in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the Las Vegas movie, the wedding in Las Vegas.
Yeah, which has Gilbert Godfrey.
Really?
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
He said some jokes about the Japanese, and then he became not a duck anymore.
Now it's a pig going, whee!
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. No, wrong insurance. That's Geico.
Oh.
But all the same.
Yeah, really. But yeah, Doctor Who's supposed to be crossing over with that, so I thought that might be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Is there a Star Trek book out for Next Generation, or is it just going to, I guess it's going to be if they make it a one-shot type, or not one-shot.
The only Star Trek ongoing that's out currently is the new movie continuity.
Yeah. The IDW stuff, yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's what they said. IDW is going to be publishing it.
Yeah, IDW publishes the terrible Star Trek Legion of Superheroes crossover.
IDW seems to publish a lot of just crossovers of just random characters.
Yeah, they get licenses and they just try to exploit them.
I'm afraid I'm going to cross over one day into an IDW book.
I have a 15 question quiz on Saved by the Bell.
I figured it was going to be Saved by the Bell.
Are you ready for the 15 question quiz?
Probably not going to do well, but
go ahead. I think Adam may score higher than we think.
Well,
in the episode entitled Zach Wars,
classic.
What was the name of the girl that Screech wanted to impress? Jenny? Jenny, Robin, Sarah, or Molly?
I don't know. I'm going to say Jenny.
What animal was Kelly caring for an episode called Pipe Dreams?
Oh, that's the oil episode. That's a famous episode of Saved by the Bell.
Is it a duck?
No, duck was Zach.
Frog, crayfish, or rabbit?
I think it was a frog.
A frog. Is that the...
She was carrying around a crayfish? That would be weird.
Who was the original hall monitor? Zach, Screech, Neil, or Franklin? What was Screech's pet name for Violet? Miss Divine, Miss My Heart, La Diva, and Precious Love.
I think it's My Heart.
I would say My Heart, yeah. He wasn't very, you know... Oh,
yeah.
Here it is. In the Hawaii episode, Zach dated a local girl, and the girl happened to have a daughter. What was the daughter's name? Daniela, Pamela, Jennifer, or Andrea?
I think it was Jennifer.
Ugh, don't know that. Please don't know that.
This is kind of creepy if you read it.
This is all creepy.
How many tapes did Jesse's sneaky stepbrother get a hold of her while in Bayside, not including the copies? What kind of tapes
just
are
one.
They? It was
three episodes, and this is Jump the Shark already.
11, 0, 2, or 5?
That's because Chad's here.
Oh, thanks.
There's two.
What did Jesse wear for Miss Liberty pageant? A Statue of Liberty costume?
Probably.
So, Nick.
Wait, they're having their own podcast over here.
We've been hijacked by step.
On Bleeding Cool right now, there's a post to a T-Fury shirt that has the Peanuts characters drawn up as
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Just saw it.
What?
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
I'm not allowed to buy any more Doctor Who T-Fury shirts, though.
Just based off the questions we asked, I don't want to say anything, but Adam answered them all right.
Oh, no! That's the worst
thing. Did I really?
Yes! That's scary.
That's really scary.
I didn't even try.
If I long have you been waiting to have a Saved by the Bell come up?
Yeah.
Defining hey. Moment in podcast.
Everybody's
history.
Gotta have their thing, right?
I don't know about the shirt. Matt Smith. Is Matt Smith even here? Yeah, he's on top. He's not wearing a fez. We all know fezes are cool.
I agree.
Which brings us to That 70s Show.
No. This is a comic book podcast.
We're at least allowed to get the Doctor Who here. And we figured out that Saved by the Bell was a comic book, so we were able to talk
about
it. So
a slow day at the shop today?
Other than when we started to record, like 20 people came in all at once. That was why I disappeared for a little while, and you guys got on to Saved by the Bell, I think.
Actually, truthfully, this might be our longest red chair dialogue, because actually I was looking at the clock. We've been doing this for an hour and 50 minutes.
And basically, after about, we talked for like 20 minutes, and all of a sudden, like 20 people. Like, it was really busy, and that's been the only real rush today. I have a feeling that the weather is going to be keeping people out moving, you know, from here forward as it gets colder.
It seemed to have calmed down, though.
I got to go to Giant Eagle and buy some Tostitos.
Scoops.
Scoops, yeah.
With a hint of lime.
I love all the tweets you had after that podcast.
I just learned so much about
who invented them, all sorts of stuff. That
who
was
did
the
invent?
Petition for the lime to come back.
Yeah.
But the hint of lime, it's not like, I would say, like Chipotle's hint of lime, where it's like actually squeezed lime.
You know.
Kemp of lime.
If petitions worked, I don't think we'd be seeing Star Wars Episode 1 being re-released in theaters.
How about if petitions worked, it would be the hand would have shot first.
Yeah. Oh, man. What's up with that?
This week, he is saying that he never shot
Der
first.
Der Fuhrer says yeah. No.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody needs to watch The People Against People versus George Lucas.
I was reading an article about it today. It sounds really interesting.
I own it. It's amazing.
You own everything.
I do. I own a lot of stuff. I have of Star Wars documentaries and fan-made stuff. I mean, I have so many edits of the movies that are fan edits.
You know, it's funny because I know, you know, we said before we started recording, Nick, we wanted to keep this positive, so we weren't going to touch on the legal stuff. We'll save that for Wednesday.
So it's your fault we started talking about Saved by the Bell.
Very nice.
But
Phantom edit. I got it on DVD.
But the thing in the article I was reading about that Star Wars documentary that was fascinating is it was talking about, the larger issue of ownership.
Let's go.
You know, who owns Star Wars, the fans or George Lucas? And
that's what the movie's about.
Yeah, that whole concept is very fascinating.
He doesn't. He only owns the merchandise.
Well, no, this means from a more like philosophical.
I understand.
Oh no, he owns everything.
I thought he did. I thought he sold his rights to make the movie, and then he just took the toy license.
No.
No. What he does is he owns. All of the characters outright. What 20th Century Fox owns is the distribution rights, similar to like Sony owns the Spider-Man rights. They don't own Spider-Man.
And Fox, what you're thinking of is originally Fox had the movie, the very first movie, like just Star Wars Episode 4. He's owned everything since, and he actually in the 80s went back and bought Star Wars back from Fox.
I just think that they should just continue the saga and just say Jar Jar survived and he's still alive and he's running around.
What happened to Jar Jar?
Maybe they should replace Han Solo with Jar Jar. You know?
Oh my god, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would
They
be
could
great.
Probably do that.
He'd wear
and
the vest.
And then it would be cool if he shot third and just got shot in the face.
And then when he's going down and Layla goes, I love you, and he goes, I know, he'd be like, I love you.
Well, he actually kind of looked like a scruffy-looking nerf herder, so it sort of works.
Yeah.
Lisa, love you!
Or maybe Luke got so cold that he cut a hole in Jar Jar and got in him. I'd watch that. I would watch a Sarlacc to digest him for 1,000 years, too.
I don't want to go too in detail here, but did anyone a fan of the comic strip Boondocks?
Yeah.
I like the cartoon.
Did anyone ever see the Jabari Binko strip?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay. Look that one
That's
up on
the Jar Jar play.
Yeah, look that one up on your own. It is hilarious on many levels.
Do you guys remember there was a Star Wars trade, and I don't, and Colin doesn't have it right now, but at the back of it, Indiana Jones is walking in the woods, and he comes on this tunnel, and there's a skeleton with a vest on and an arrow through him, and he's looking for Bigfoot. And it turns out that the tunnel or the cave that he's in is actual metal. And it's actually a crashed Millennium Falcon, and the Bigfoot that's running around is Chewbacca.
That's awesome.
It's in the back of one trade. It has Vader on the cover. I forget what it was, but it's classic.
That's awesome. It's
like Star Wars Tales or something.
Yeah, it happened a long time before.
Well, I'm gonna get going because I gotta get to work.
All right, now.
Hey, I'll see you guys.
You guys gonna be pretty much done?
Yeah, I'm calling it off right now.
I don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
Is that phrase "quit while you're ahead"?
Right? Yeah, that's
right.
It's in
a very dark place at the moment.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next Saturday, and we'll see you at the Wednesday podcast.
Yeah, so. Nick, hang on for a second.
In Pittsburgh. All right,
guys.
Lawsuit.
Yeah, so you'll like physically be here on Wednesday.
Physically be there talking about different people suing different people.
Cool. Will somebody tweet what they want the cake to look like?
Well, I think
we
want to
be surprised.
Nick's cake, so you should.
Nick, it's up to you. Basically, you have until Monday to tell me what kind of cake you want.
I'll go on the Twitter.
All right, everyone, take care. Every day, just to drive to my baby. Come 10, 6 months each day. Magic bus. I drive my baby in my magic bus.